Well, good morning. We continue our series in the Westminster Confession of Faith, and we'll be looking again at chapter 16, a very long chapter, on good works. Let me read paragraph 5 with you, or to you, and then I'll talk about it for a few minutes. Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 16, section 5. We cannot by our best works merit pardon of sin or eternal life at the hand of God by reason of the great disproportion that's between them and the glory to come, and the infinite distance that's between us and God, by whom then we can neither profit nor satisfy for the debt of our former sins. But when we've done all we can, we've but done our duty. Are unprofitable servants. And because as they are good, that is, our works are good, they proceed from His Spirit, and as they are wrought by us, they're defiled and mixed with so much weakness and imperfection that they cannot endure the severity of God's judgment. Well, that certainly has to be one of the more complex sentences that we'll find in the Confession of Faith. Let me try and explain it to you now. Good works are works that God commands, the fruits and evidences of a lively faith in Christ. Our works are the fruit of the Holy Spirit's work in us. But the Spirit's work in us is not perfected until we are raised from the dead. Indeed, we fall short of what God requires. Those are what the previous paragraphs have told us. Paragraph 5 of this chapter goes on to fill in some more details about the Christian account of good works, moving from a discussion of the limitations of the best people to the limitations of our best works. The most obvious limitation to our best works is that they do not merit pardon of sin or eternal life. When in Romans 3, Paul specifies that we cannot be saved by the works of the law, he seems to have in view the religious activities of all people, whether Jews or Gentiles. But even if he has in view only those activities or practices that distinguish Jews from all others, he's still providing us with one example of a general principle. Good works, things we do, things that we have, religious or otherwise, are not enough to please God. Well, there's a sense in which good works can give us a little scope for boasting, or at least so it seems if we listen to ourselves from week to week. But we could never boast before God about our good works. We can never claim that salvation is not God's gift, but our due. The blessing is really that God imputes righteousness apart from our works. The same point is made elsewhere very clearly in the Pauline epistles, as Paul explains to the Ephesians. It's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It's the gift of God. Now, apparently some did think that salvation might be gracious, but with that a little bit of it might come from ourselves. So Paul rules that out. He goes on to say, salvation is not by works, so that no one could boast. There's never been a time when this truth has not been doubted in one corner of the church or another. The actual insufficiency of our best works needs to be reaffirmed as clearly today as it needed to be reaffirmed in the 17th or the 16th or the 1st century, whatever time it might be. The fact is that there's a huge disproportion between the best of our works and the least of God's glories. Who can seriously set our most shining acts of piety, even our most serious suffering for Christ, beside the splendor of the glory to come, and say, I deserve that? I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us, Paul once said. Who can think again that what we do in this life could ever earn us eternal life? The truth is that God saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. How can we become heirs according to the hope of eternal life? Well, Paul tells Titus, only because the Spirit is poured on us richly. Only through Jesus Christ our Savior. Only because we're justified by His grace. only because God has dealt with our former sins, our present sins, and all future sins, not because of anything that we do. The reason why there's such a great distance between our good works and God's, and between our piety and our great reward, is because in the end, there's a chasm of difference between us and God. In God, all goodness dwells. But the same is not true of you and of me, is it? Actually, apart from Him, we can do no good thing, the psalmist reminds us. All God's good profits us. But what could we ever add to God? This is a question that the book of Job raises more than once. And the answer is obvious. The truth is that at the end of the day, when we've done all, and when we have done what we're commanded, we can still only say that we're unworthy servants. We've only done what was our duty, at best. These are the words of Jesus, and He knows the mind of God. He knows our limitations too. So our best works cannot merit God's pleasure, because they will never be good enough for God, and because what is good in our works is in the end only owing to the Holy Spirit. And again, the Scriptures most clearly associate the gracious work of the Spirit with our own efforts. If there's any love, joy, or peace that you do see in yourself, where does it come from? Have you noticed any kindness or gentleness or faithfulness in your spouse or your best friend? Have you noticed any self-control or gentleness in your children or your Christian friends? If so, we know who's at work, don't we? This is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the story. The good in us proceeds from the Spirit. That which comes from us alone is good only in the most general, the most vanilla sense of the word. I think it's useful to have this general sense of goodness, and we'll talk about that later. It would be difficult, for example, to thank or to praise or to encourage one another without it. And yet we must remember, especially when considering ourselves, that our best works are still defiled and still sullied because they are mixed with much weakness and imperfection and confused intentions. Our works can pass the muster of a kind friend or even a benevolent Father in heaven, and we'll talk about that next week. But they could never endure the severity of God's judgment. If the Lord should mark iniquities, really, who should stand? We must confess that no one living is righteous before God. No one, that is, except our Savior. So let us always pray in His good name, trusting in Him when we come to our Father and ask for blessings. Let's do so now. Our Father, we thank You for our Savior, Jesus Christ the Lord, who is the personification of all that's good. He is the one who kept Your law perfectly. His good works will shine through all eternity. And so we come to You and we ask that You would bless us through Jesus Christ, that You would help us to live a life more like His by the power of Your Spirit, so that we may bring You glory, edify our brothers and sisters, bear fruit which is appropriate for our Christian testimony, and have a good testimony before the world. Hear our prayers, we ask. For we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.